First of all, I would like to speak about culture, a specific form of culture, the yogurt culture, or probably it would be better to start with the topic of milk, because without milk there couldn't possibly be any yogurt. The origin of yogurt is not breast milk, but it is cow's milk. A couple of years ago, I read in a German newspaper an article about an area in Africa where a population survived a string of epidemics because they accepted cow's milk as a nourishment. The author of the article wrote that milk is not really a digestible nourishment, at least not for adults, because nature only endows babies with the enzymes that allow them to digest lactose. Well, that stops after a while, in order to allow the child to take leave of breastfeeding. A child that would continue to be breastfed would invariably have to puke. The European stomach, in the course of the history of civilization, has acquired the capacity to digest milk also as an adult. And Europe drinks milk but does not puke. That was my definition of Europe until very recently. When I, in the 60s, went to primary school in Tokyo, there were a few schoolmates of mine who immediately began to puke when they drank milk. We received a small bottle of milk every day at school, together with lunch. And our teacher told me that everyone could get used to milk. You just needed some patience. I'm not quite sure whether she was right, because even in Europe, as we speak, there are people with lactose intolerance. European culture was exclusively exported from Bulgaria to Japan, and I'm referring to yogurt culture. In 1905, it was the Bulgarian scientist Stamen Grigorov who isolated a bacteria that is responsible for the creation of yogurt. And when I went to Sofia, I went to a supermarket and I saw that the brands of yogurt that were covering entire shelves were the ones that I knew from Germany. Why did Bulgarians import expensive products from abroad when they were the much heralded and celebrated origin of yogurt? Yogurt was no longer yogurt, but a global industrial good, and whoever was best at marketing it sold more of it. I was really taken aback. An acquaintance of mine in New York exclusively buys yogurt from Greece. Many American yogurt products, or according to her opinion, are nothing more than chemical gruel. Greece, according to her reading, was the true origin of yogurt. But a Greek that I met last year revealed to me that there was no real authentic Greek yogurt anymore, only European yogurt. Well, that's the proverbial carrying of coals to Newcastle. In this case, it's yogurt to Athens. Yogurt is a sour milk product, a kind of Dickmilch in German, thick milk. The words Sauermilch and Dickmilch in German, fermented milk, are hardly used because their other connotation, being angry and obese, is not very positive. You should always be well-humored and upbeat and slender as people in the commercial for yogurt. I thought that that was really very American, and that in Europe it was allowed to be sour, angry against the situation, the political situation, the inequities that exist. Because being sour, being angry, produces sustainability. Sauerkraut, for example, has a longer shelf life than cabbage. And when I hear words such as Sauerkraut or Sauerbraten, that inevitably or invariably whets my appetite. Not because I want to eat those dishes, but because the word sour reverberates into my stomach. Yogurt is actually based on a Turkish word. And most Europeans are certainly not aware of the fact how often they pronounce words of Turkish origin throughout the course of a day. And the words Sauermilch or Dickmilch, even though I hardly used, have not yet been entirely forgotten, whereas the word Setzmilch, German for fermented milk as well, is hardly used at all. I found it in a dictionary and first read Satzmilch, literally sentence milk. And as a consequence of this, new words popped up in my mind, such as word milk, language milk, prose milk, haiku milk, legacy milk, translation milk. There are words that are forgotten, but it is also true that words are born again. And when I'm angry, sour, my head swells up with new words, and I sit down at my desk. And once an author has written down the words, the setter, the typesetter, then puts down the individual letters. And he doesn't use a surface for that anymore, but a computer program. And the word Zetsbrett, the surface, will certainly be forgotten pretty soon, because if authors set sentences, it sounds very strict, but it is not about pinning down fluid ideas. They set sentences like a feral beast brings its offsprings to the world or produces its offspring in a breeding period. Set sentences are not set in stone. They are like Setzmilch, fermented milk, caught up in a fermenting process. So is translated literature comparable to a foreigner who speaks with an accent? And how much of an accent can literature support and survive? The accent is the face of the spoken language. The eyes gleam as Lake Baikal or the Black Sea or any other sea according to whom is speaking. The eyes of my language contain water from the Pacific that has numerous vowels floating on it like islands, and without them I would simply drown. The German language doesn't offer sufficient vowels. Lufthansa, for example, I pronounce it Lufthansa in order to ensure that every consonant is flanked by a vowel. How else could I express my feelings that are only expressed through vowels? What would the world look like if there were only consonants? Just spell k or g and think about what it does to your body. To me, it sounds like rejection, like delineation, like, or even indeed like a softly spoken excuse. I feel uncomfortable, and therefore I try to pronounce these sounds with as little emphasis as possible. And I accept that my accent might be strengthened and more pronounced by that. And also the more explosive sounds, p and b, they are certainly, they produce headache for me. They sound angry, despising, disdainful and dismissive. I prefer to draw the air inwards when pronouncing these consonants so that their explosion is slightly muffled. There are also more softer consonants, but that doesn't mean that I can pronounce them without an accent. Consonants R and L, for example, are rather confusing. They sound like identical twins to me. Here are some examples for a better use of these, and they are in German. Durch das lustvolle Wandern in der Natur wandelt Herr Müller seine Gesinnung. Mr. Müller changes his opinion while hiking. The back of a pony is low and therefore cute. If it would be double as high, it would be half as cute. No bookshelf is illegal, irrespective of the book standing on this bookshelf, just as nobody can be illegal even if they speak with an accent. The accent is the collision, the unexpected collision of two words that normally do not sound similar. In my accent, for example, Zelle, cell, and Seele, soul, sound similar. And it is not my task to differentiate between a regional accent, a foreign accent, a socialect, or a speech impairment. Instead, I propose that every deviation should be seen and understood as a chance for poetry. Indeed, I find it almost curious to be referring to a deviation here, because I'm not even sure that there is anything like a standard. In my language course, I learned that the purest German can be found in Hanover, in theater, and not just somewhere on the streets. But there's no person that I know of that was born in the theater in Hanover and never left it. And therefore, there are no people without accents, such as there cannot be any person without wrinkles in their face. The accent is a generous invitation to embark on a journey to geographic and culturally distant lands. In a modern large city, you always have to be prepared, during lunch, for example, to suddenly embark on a journey around the globe. A waitress opens her mouth, and already I'm on my way to Moscow, Paris, or Istanbul. The oral cavity of the waitress is the night sky arching above her tongue, which represents the Eurasian continent. And her breath is the Orient Express, and I step onto it. Accent gives people courage, because he is living proof for the fact that even an adult can still learn an exotic language. If they had already learned it as a child, they would not have an accent. Even at a very advanced age, we can broaden our palate, grow fictional new teeth, train the muscles of our jaws and our mouth, produce more spittle, and work the synapses of our brain and ventilate our brain. The objective of learning languages is not to adapt to a destination. You can always learn a new language and retain the old languages as an accent. You do not have an accent, and you do not look like a foreigner, but if you do come from abroad at the same time, that creates quite a challenge. A daughter of one of my German acquaintances who was born in the US and grew up there was afraid to go to the postal office in Germany because she doesn't have an accent when she speaks German, but she does not understand what the employee means when he means registered letter, cash on delivery, or freight forward. If she had an accent, probably somebody would take their time to calmly explain these words to her, but she doesn't have an accent, unfortunately. And she told me that probably people thought that she might be somewhat or slightly weird. Multilingual poets, it can be an advantage if their minds are not quite normal or weird, because this weirdness allows for the tonality of language to percolate into it and create a new musical tone. Nowadays, we speak of a migration background as if it were, as if the abysmal, or the abysmal aspect is always hidden behind the back, and the accent is the foreground of migration. Well, I'm looking forward to today's feast, and I would like to congratulate all translators who have really done such an essential work for literature. There are texts that yearn to be translated, and you have tapped into this desire, this poetic desire, and you have created an architectural, musical, and philosophical work. And I congratulate all authors who have been nominated for the shortlist of the 6th International Literary Award. I have made up anagrams from their names, and I would like to present them to you like bouquets made of words. M-A-D-E-L-E-I-N-E-T-H-I-E-N. Your name, Madeleine Tien, was the easiest indeed, and the result is compatible with the German literary history. Heine malt Ideen. Heine paints ideas. B-E-R-N-A-R-D-O K-U-C-I-N-S-K-I. Bernardo Kuczynski, letter sentence. Ich bin Sprkanone. I am a language cannon. It's not a language cannon, because actually a couple of letters were missing, A, C, and H. Ach, in German. To spring, to blast, to spray. There's so many other opportunities before speaking. M, O, H-S-I-N-H-A-M-I-D. Mohsin Hamid wrote the book How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia. And according to the word, and I also found two words in his name that chime with that. Honda Mimish. Learn from the master and work for yourself. Very much along the lines of his own self-help guide. D-A-N-Y-L-A-F-E-R-R-I-E-R-E. Congratulations to Daniel Ferrière. His name represents the meeting. Of Reine Lady, pure lady, with a Fahrer. A young bull that is used for breeding, and a pure lady who presents herself in a traditional costume or outfit. An excellent pairing, and a miracle is always accompanied by a horn. Z-S-O-F-I-A. Nothing written there. Sophia Ban contains the word fascination. That's at least what I thought at the beginning. And I found fascina, but I couldn't add to it. T-I-O and N were missing. But those are not the most important components of the word. Instead, I found bo, the newfangled word is fascinable. Bo means a wand in Japan, in Japanese. So this is the magic wand of fascination. And finally, G-E-O-R-G-I. G-O-S-P-O-D-I-N-O-V. Georgi Gospodinov. Too many G's, too many O's in his name. I would have loved to write Gogol or Go-Go Girl, but unfortunately, no L's. After much musing, I finally came up with the sentence Ovid Gor in Gong Pose. It's not easy to create a German anagram on the basis of a non-German name. Too many letters that you can't really use. On the other hand, letters missing that are necessary, indeed very useful. But it is this residual aspect that can be an important basis for culture. And it is where things are missing that opportunity arises. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. HKW, of course, is the abbreviation of Heute wieder ein klares Wetter, i.e. today's weather will be fine. Thank you very much, and I trust you will enjoy the lectures and the talks.